I see morality, morality, and morality. And I've never in my life seen a time when people are more proud to call themselves godless or atheists or, you know, some other highfalutin term, and get so angry at those who claim to have faith. And that's really, folks, that is at the root of this. And, you know, I've mentioned over and over again that Madison, was it, that said we have to have our system requires a religious and moral people, or a moral and religious people, in order to operate properly. Which, so it's not a foolproof system. Our system is dependent upon Christianity at its roots. We would not be here today without Christianity. Whether you like it or not, it is a Christian nation. The greatest lie that this nation can be fed is that we're not a Christian nation. And they want to, you know, the socialists want to rewrite our history. I mean, they're out in the open now, folks. You can call them socialists, communists. It doesn't even offend them. The only reason they get offended is because they know it might offend somebody else, and it might affect their game of deception. But they're just standing out there spewing this stuff. No shame. No qualms about it. They want to take over our schools. And they are, through a whole series of things. There's been a lot of comments from parents on the ones that pay a little bit of attention to what their kids are doing when they're working from home during this COVID farce. They've seen a lot, you know, parents that have their head on straight have seen a lot of propaganda and brainwashing and programming information coming across. There's also a massive increase in homeschooling. I know I have relatives that have chosen that route, and hopefully it works out good for them, because it certainly can't work out worse. You know, the only thing kids might miss out on a little bit, arguably, was supposedly a social interaction. Well, how about, I don't remember the specifics, but here's the new, quote, normal. I mean, take my, you know, as an example, my grandchildren, you know, 5, 8, and 10, and or whatever, you know, and you put them in an elementary school, and when recess comes, oh no, you can't go outside and hang out with your buds and play some kickball. No, you have to go over to a big barrel or whatever and pick out your favorite toy, and then you go outside and you go social distance yourself and you go entertain yourself with your little toy. Folks, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's insanity. We need somebody with prevalence and prominence to step up and explain that this is a phony farce, okay? When you have the deputy director of the World Health Organization, who stepped down in the last few months, come out and call the World Health Organization such and such criminal operation that's creating a false pandemic without any verifiable facts or evidence, is basically how it's said. That's not an exact quote. When you get someone of that caliber saying it's a lie, it's a lie. These are the people right at the top and right in the middle of the truth, if you will, or the lie, whatever you want to call it. But who has the courage? Who has the courage? You know, there's lots of people, folks. You go online, for example, just type in, like, and they'll probably change this. If you type in masks don't work, now, I guarantee you I shouldn't have said that because it's probably going to change now. But there was a thing there from a RC Reader. I'm going to check it out here. And it is, okay, first you get Mayo Clinic, CDC, such and such. Oh, it's getting down there, right? It's about five down, six down from the top. Masks don't work. A review of science relative to COVID-19 social policy. Remember, Joe Biden says, I follow the science. I'm following the science. If the president would have followed the science, he would have saved 200 million people by the time I'm done talking up here. Or while I'm talking, I mean, he says these ridiculous psychobabbles. Everyone knows he's lost his marbles. And they won't say a word. I mean, the media, the First Amendment to the Constitution, or shall we call it the Bill of Rights? What are those rights? They're inalienable. Those are the rights given to us by God that our founders, through hundreds of years of study and learning, realized it's the government's job to protect those. The government doesn't provide those. The government's job is to protect them. The government can't take them away. Well, they can, but they shouldn't, and they're not supposed to. They're supposed to protect them. Governments can take people's rights, and generally that's what governments do. Our government is unique. So you get the First Amendment, the right to free speech. That's the very first one. Free speech, freedom of the press, expression of your religion and worshiping, etc. Okay? Freedom of the press. It says, actually, it's the free press is what I believe. It's either that or that's what I read in one of the Federalist papers on it. But the point is, this is when you have something so cherished and so valuable and so significant and so consequential, and you have like CNN just spewing hate and vitriol and lies and twisting. Folks, these people are obsessed with ratings. They're nuts about it. You get, you know, I won't go through their names. They're crazy. And everything has to be more, you know, dramatic than the last, more hysterical, more spectacular. And they just go on and they keep raising the bar and it keeps getting more obnoxious. And then a lot of people I talk to are like, oh my gosh, this place is crazy. And then I talk to people that are hook, line, and sinker. They're buying in, full throttle. I talked to a gal here in the last couple days, very strong opinions. She just, you know, she's buying into this whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. She's about as liberal as they can come, which is sad because, you know, the liberal party as of now is, there's nothing intellectual about it. You get Chuck Schumer coming out saying, you know, Senator Schumer, coming out saying, well, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her last dying wish was that the country would wait to appoint her replacement after her quote is, after a new president has been installed. Wouldn't that be neat? It's the Constitution that lays that out for you, ma'am. And I'm not sure, but I suspect somewhere I read once that a Supreme Court justice for the United States of America should have read the U.S. Constitution at least once. Maybe even two or three times so she can get a better feel for it. It's, and that's again sarcasm for all y'all. Folks, seriously, a gal whose job for the last, you know, 47 years or whatever it's been, has been to supposedly protect the Constitution And her, quote, dying wish is that we break the Constitution just for her because she was special. Folks, we're dealing with a rock. The Constitution is an iconic piece of Petra. It's a granite rock. It's not negotiable. You can add or subtract. Adding's harder than hard. Subtracting's worse. You have to have like 2/3 approval from all the states and every branch of government, and you got to be real careful with that as well. But for her to come out like that, it's just foolishness. It's just foolishness, folks. I know you hear me say this stuff all the time. This is foolishness. It's absolutely, to me, when I watch these things, I'm like, really? And all I can think is, number one, you know, the Bible talks about scheming and those who have wicked plans. I was reading in Proverbs 6 the other night, you know, there's six things that God hates. Yes, seven. Well, whenever they do that, seven's the number of completion. That means, oh, the list is finished and they do them in the opposite order of us. And they have, you know, haughty eyes and a proud heart and rushing, or what is it, you know, hurting the innocent, especially exceptionally, rushing towards evil. And it's and that's what I was talking about. It says, you know, it's talking about rushing, running to evil, running right into the middle of it, loving every minute of it, getting right in the middle of it. And that's what we have right now. And it's, yeah, these are very interesting times we are in. So we've got the First Amendment I just brought up a bit ago with the freedom of the press. If you think about that, you have, and I made the sarcastic remark that you would hope Ruth Bader Ginsburg read the Constitution so she could say, hey, I'd rather, you know, I want to breach the thing so we can get our partisan politics. She made some comments too, folks, that, you know, that she sat there over the years and she was pretty against the partisan politics. I don't know if you're aware, the Democrats have literally threatened, if they don't win this election, they have threatened, do they say, to blow the thing up, burn the thing down. What's the thing? It's whatever they don't like. And you better be ready for a crazy election. And then people, I'm getting even conservative friends saying, well, you know, I read in The Atlantic or something that, you know, Trump's going to rig the election and all. It's like, come on, man. You guys, there's nothing on this guy. Hillary spent her whole life lying. It just came out. She was at Epstein's place over six times. Her husband was 20 plus times. What was she doing there? You know? You talk about corruption. These are the things the media needs to be telling us. It's why our Constitution refers to the free press. That is such a critical point. That it's the free press. It says, let me see if I'm right on this. Maybe not. Congress. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, which means no law respecting, in other words, in respect to the establishment or any establishment of religion. They can have nothing to say about it, as much as they disagree. I mean, kick people off the soil and want people to tear things down. And I've heard ladies argue and say that they should be able to loot. There was a Seattle councilman who was arguing that they should be able to loot and vandalize and all this kind of stuff. So Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, keyword free exercise, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay? What does that mean? It means you have God-given rights our government, our founders have agreed to protect. That's your freedom of speech and your religion, freedom of the press, and the right to peaceably assemble. I mean, they were right in allowing these protests, if you would call them that. They're not protests, folks. This thing has been rigged from the get-go. If you look this thing in the mouth, if you will, you can see where, I mean, they've tried everything. They've tried every kind of impeachment and collusion and corruption. And we just keep finding about more and more and more corruption. And people who aren't digging out the information are getting fed lie after lie after lie. Now, bias completely normal. And I think truth seeking is very important. When it comes to the Clintons, et cetera, you know, the evidence is there. Even what's going on now, you know, the net worth of the Obamas is astounding. It's in the like hundred and some million dollars now. And he left, he came into office worth zippity-doo-da-day. What happened there? And he's working for George Soros, and he's out, you know, quietly creating this chaos and havoc to tear our country apart. There's nothing they can do right. It is not about Trump. Trump is the, you know, the quintessential candidate that they want to hate. Biden is the quintessential candidate that you see as a politician on movies, where he's just got his hands in so many pockets. He says whatever is politically expedient, and he's so corrupt, he doesn't know if he's coming or going. So then they got to watch the guy's mouth. You know, he stood up there bragging about all his power as VP when he, you know, his son was going to give these, you know, whatever country $1 billion. And then he found out they were, you know, investigating his son. And he said, hey, you fire that investigator, you're not getting the $1 billion. And I'm leaving this afternoon. You got 5 hours. And he's like, well, lo and behold, I'll be blanked. He goes, you know, they fired that prosecutor to get the $1 billion. The prosecutor was interviewed later, totally irritated. The guy is corrupt. And what I was going to say a minute ago, bias I get. I get bias, okay? Facts are hard. You know, it's like they can say, you have a right to your own opinion, but you don't have a right to your own facts. Facts are facts. And he comes across as the epitome of a corrupt politician. He's been there forever. And all they know how to do is run everything down. Just trash it. You know, AOC was on TV the other day, and I was watching it with a couple of guys or something, and I said, have you ever heard her say one good thing about America? And they both said no. Have you ever heard Nancy Pelosi, well, we'll say in the last, you know, however many years, say one good thing about America? No. How about Chuck Schumer? And I mean really good thing. Not like, well, it's a beautiful country, but it's going to hell in a handbasket with Donald Trump in the White House. You know, that's not a, that's what they call an offhanded comment or an offhanded compliment. I mean really good things. America's great. America's strong. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's, you know, the greatest country in the history of the world. And, you know, minor things like that. You don't hear that coming out of their mouths. It is absolute destruction. And I did a radio show back, I think, in like 2009, where I dug up statistics of the White House, or not the White House, of which political party had majority control of two or more of the main seats or main branches of government over the last 100 years. And when Obama was in office, folks, I'm not kidding you, it was literally like 92 out of 100 years, Democrats have had the majority. 92 out of 100. That was as of Obama's term. So it would have stayed the same until Trump got in. That's how flip-flop the truth is. And when they're in office, they always have the same mantra. It's blame the last guy. Blame the conservative. Trash on that. You know, destroy their family. I mean, really? Is it really that bad? I mean, this country's so horrible. And it's terrible. And then the media is filming everything and making everybody think, you know, you just look down the street on your street corner, you're going to see people getting shot. They do this when Trump's in office. If they faked him out, faked out the fake news and said Biden won, you would literally see 97% of that negative, destructive propaganda go away. So let's, I love computers. So let's talk. So I talked a bit ago about, if you look up Masks Don't Work Online, it's worth your time. There's a website called River Cities Reader, and it's got medical journal articles, okay? They're published medical journal articles from, you know, going back, let's see here, 2009, 2010, 2012, 16, 17, and it just keeps going, 19 and 20, and there's mixes of all of them, okay? These are medically published journal study research articles. And they have, like, you know, it's this extensive, this is, says, you know, here's the key anchor points to the extensive scientific literature that establishes that wearing surgical masks and respirators, and then it says EG, i.e., whatever, N95 masks, the good ones, it does not reduce the risk of contracting any verified illnesses. There's no illness that they verified that a mask stops. Then it goes down. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on it. But, you know, their conclusion on one, oh, you know, it's like the study in Japan of, you know, they're really concerned about healthcare workers. How can they get, you know, less sick? And the conclusion or deduction of these studies, use of a surgical face mask, you know, they go in with a study purpose to reduce the, use of surgical face mask to reduce the incidence of common cold among healthcare workers in Japan. A randomized controlled trial, blah, blah, blah. Conclusion, N95 masked healthcare workers, HCWs, were significantly more likely to experience headaches and hypoxia. Face mask use in healthcare workers has not demonstrated to provide any benefit in terms of cold or flu symptoms or catching any common cold or flu. And then they go on, there's another one. And these are the deductions. None of the studies reviewed showed a benefit from wearing a mask, dot, dot, dot. And another one says there were 17 eligible studies in this one journal. It's pretty good size. And they had 17 independent studies. None of these studies established a conclusive relationship between mask or respirator use and any protection against any type of influenza infection. And then it goes again. Here's another one. Where they're gathering studies, you know, they have, there's one, the one above, I misread, it was a conglomeration, it was a synopsis of 17 specific studies combined. We identified, here's another one, Smith J.D. Smith et al., which means and others, effectiveness on the effectiveness of N95 respirators versus surgical masks in protecting healthcare workers from acute respiratory infection, blah, 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 blah. Conclusion. We identified six clinical studies. In the meta-analysis of the clinical studies, we found no significant difference between N95 respirators, masks, and surgical masks in associated risk of a laboratory-confirmed respiratory infection or influenza-like illness or any reported workplace absenteeism. So it didn't reduce sickness or anything. And then it goes on like this, you know, on and on and on. These, and this is, like I said, this is solid science. This stuff needs to be, I mean, it goes on. Among, you know, here's one. They had 2,862 randomized participants way back in 2019. Woo. It says, among 2,862 randomized participants, 2,371 completed the study and accounted for 5,180 healthcare worker seasons, whatever that means, among outpatient healthcare personnel. N95 respirators versus medical masks worn by participants in this trial resulted in no significant difference in the incidence of any laboratory-confirmed disease or influenza. I could go on. Pretty clear. Yet we're running around like a bunch of monkeys. It's a conformity thing, and it's miserable. It's destroying, this stuff is destroying businesses. It's destroying our economy. It's really pounding our world. And I can tell you, they've done a heck of a job of hiding it. And I'm a little disappointed in Trump, too. I mean, I guess he's got to get through the election, but someone's going to have to stand up. I've spoken today to three separate people. And in the conversation out of their mouths, they've said, and these are older folks, they've said, it feels like we're going into a civil war. You have the liberals saying they're going to stack the courts, that they're going to, you know, they're threatening bombs and shootings at the polling stations. Oh, no, no. They say that's not a threat. They just said it's going to happen. They're literally, this next election is going to be a doozy. Trump has the responsibility of protecting everybody's voting rights. I believe Trump is being very quiet because he knows, and he doesn't want to tip his hat. That's one nice thing about Trump. Is he, you know, he knows what they would do to him. I mean, can you imagine the harassment that poor guy goes through? It's just unheard of. It's not even comprehensible. But I really have a feeling he is ready and willing to pull out the troops to protect our polling stations. The left-wingers want you to vote early, by mail, etc. They have corruption literally set up, folks. And I'll tell you what's going on. They're losing it over this next appointment. And it's known historically that justices tend to move left, and sometimes considerably. You know, you get the Sandra Day O'Connors and Roberts and even there's questions now on Kavanaugh. But they say when somebody dies, a lot of times it seems to shift the judiciary activity of the justice. And so you're always up against that. It's kind of like entropy. Things are going to a state of disorder. You're either going towards God or away from him. There is no in between. You know, and they're going as far away as possible. So let's see here. This is the 14th Amendment. It says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Oh, come on. Where'd you go? There we go. Subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. Well, guess who the great cop in America is? The top cop is Donald J. Trump. He's the big cop on top. His job here, you have a right to vote. His job is to protect that. And I really believe we may see some crazy stuff. And Trump may be aware that there's a brewing civil war coming as well. I believe, like I said, from very faithful resources and well-connected, that he has access to so much information that you can't put anything past him. CNN wants to mock him for being out of touch and not using the science. It's interesting that, you know, Trump just speaks the way he speaks. But it's interesting that they try to put him out there like that. He has got so much access to any information he wants. I assure you, he knows if there's something planned. And he also knows how to take care of it. He's got good advisors around him. Rumors have flown that Biden's going to get COVID before the debate, which would be really wise on his part. Like I said, they're trying to ram this ballot through. I mean, can you imagine if Biden got COVID so he couldn't go to the debate, but you could still vote for him, but he doesn't have to prove it because of HIPAA laws? I don't know. I guess I'm getting a little cynical. From another perspective, do I believe in this country? Heck yeah. You know, I was talking to another gentleman today, and he was talking about the corruption in capitalism, and he was like, I don't think we have a pure form of capitalism because of the corruption of corporations and the mass influence and control and influence peddling. And I said, you're absolutely right. That gentleman was my son. And I said, you're absolutely right. He goes, well, who could you ask about that? I said, you know who I'd really like to ask is our founders. They knew this. None of this surprises them. Our responses would surprise the heck out of them, but not the actual events themselves. Or human nature never changes. But when you expose humans to cancerous sin and to degradation and corruption and collusion and, you know, decomposition, essentially, you break them down. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Sow to your flesh, reap corruptions. Sow to the spirit, reap life. Folks, why? Why are they sowing to the flesh? Power. Why? Power gets everything else. You know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever you want to call it. Power gets it all. Money gives you everything too, sort of. But you can't buy your way into election, as we saw last time. When we had the Democrat debates, we had Bloomberg, who's, you know, the Bloomberg New York gazillionaire, spent over $300 million of his own money, forced himself to be on stage in the debate, had to pass a special petition or whatever, special permission to stand on a block because he's so tiny and so small. Trump calls him Little Mike, and that's appropriate. And then he comes out and just makes a fool out of himself because he's so arrogant and he's so used to talking and people act like he's the most brilliant man that ever walked the face of the earth. Well, if you ever played the game Monopoly, you know, there's people that own certain things that become the rich ones, railroads and of course, like newspapers and things like that. Well, he's, you know, among other things, he's in the media. So he comes back, I believe it was in the last few days, and he puts, I believe, $16 million into, let's see here, it says in Florida, let's see here, for money towards a program organized by the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition by state law. Oh, to get prisoners to vote. That's right. Sorry. I kind of lost my way there a bit, but hey, he wants $16 million. Not once. Gave, you know, that's a lot of money, by the way. And if any of you don't think it is, you definitely need to protect and preserve that wealth. But anyway, why would they do this stuff? Folks, look at what they're doing. They're grasping at straws. They're trying every last possible effort. I mean, felons, okay? If you're going to do that, do it nationally, maybe. I don't agree that felons should lose their voting rights if they've paid their debt to society and they're not currently sitting in jail. They're done. Then they don't have outstanding fines or anything. They're clean. That's one of the prices of going to prison. You're paying society back, I guess. You know, that's part of it. It's also protecting society. But when you do that, I think you should be free. Same with gun rights. I mean, there's exceptions, violent certain crimes, and, you know, there's just a lot of things. I mean, these are rights. Second Amendment, that's a big one. Guns, you know, they take those away from everybody with a felony. You know that that's 7%, I believe, of men in America have a felony on their record. Can you imagine that? That's a lot. Let's see if I'm right about that. Study estimates U.S. population with felony convictions. They can't just tell you that, though. You got to read. 15%. So here's what they got. 8% of overall population and 33% of the African-American male population, one out of three. And they basically, you know, they get flustered and frustrated and say there's bias and discrimination, and there very well could be. And I'm all for fixing that stuff. But not by cheating. And I don't understand, you know, the Dems push fear, fear, fear. The Republicans push an agenda. Why people eat that fear up? There's a lot of people that are very, almost, they call it borderline. When you can't see two sides, you can only see one side of something. Some people have a real problem, you know, looking at things from different angles. And so I, you know, there could be racism and everything else. But what's going on out there is not legitimate. These are not legitimate protests. These are gatherings of protesters that are being infiltrated by a very corrupt group. And I hear this stuff like, oh, they're going to research, you know, or investigate the funding of these protests and all that. There's a guy on YouTube who admits at a protest that he works for Soros and gets paid to riot, and that he gets paid more money when he brings more friends. And he said it's kind of like a pyramid scheme, and he's not the brightest bulb I've seen, and he's right. It is a pyramid scheme, because it's you have people in your downline. You've got vandals. You have a vandal multi-level marketing program. Criminal multi-level. You know, how's that appealing to anybody? By the way, if you get approached by anybody saying, hey, they have a special deal where you pay a fee and you can buy gold or silver at these special rates, folks, it's just a scam. It's just dumb. I heard this stuff's going around antique shows and gun shows and whatnot. The metals cost what they cost. We're nationally competitive all the time. We check all of our prices on a national basis multiple times a day. And we keep them a tick below the lowest sell out there. So we're super fair. So you can't go find special deals that are a lot cheaper. It costs what it costs. So just be aware that, and there's another farce. I think it's the same guy who's pushing this Australian, or he's got him and another guy. One's got an Australian accent. They're pushing a multi-level marketing gold thing. So you buy like 10th ounces of gold, but of course they're charging, you know, when the gold in a 10th ounce today might be $195, they're charging $340. And then you get into multi-level marketing, and then there's extra profit that goes down the pyramid and pays everybody off. Why would you do that with gold? It's just foolishness. Don't even do it. It's a hard liquid cash asset made by God, crystal clear, no questions asked. Even Christ in the Bible, he talks about you can't love God, you can't worship God and money, mammon and King James, from the Greek root mammonos. He says you'll love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. But the word mammonos means man-made money. It means fiat currency. And it also, another definition, is the spirit of a self-made man. So when people are like, I'm a self-made man, all these things, this is mammon. This is man-made. Christ talks about gold and silver, but he gets handed a coin and says, who do you pay tribute to? And I don't remember the whole complication of the situation, but they had the Jewish, you know, the Sanhedrin that they operated under, of course, the Pharisees, and then above that, they had the Jerusalem authorities, and then above that, they had, you know, Pontius Pilate, whatever his position was, he was a higher level, and then they had, Herod, and then you go from there to Caesar Augustus, and you had this whole stair step of authority that, you know, that Christ basically penetrated. He was in the right place at the right time. Shocker, right? But it really was. It's probably the only time in history that Jesus Christ could have come to earth, number one, in a place where everybody saw him. Every Jew, every Greek, every Roman. It was one of the Decapolises, one of the 10 major Roman cities, Jerusalem. Well, no, Jerusalem wasn't, but there was one there. And Jesus shows up there when you have religious leaders, powerful leaders of all the way up from Rome. So the word spread. It also happened to be a time when language, the Greek language, it was at its peak of all time. They had on average, they say, 7 words to every one of ours. You may know, as an example, the word love has 7 different words in Greek. We have love for I love my car, I love my baby, I love my cat, I love pizza, etc. They have something different for all of it. You love your grandma different than your girlfriend, but we got one word. That's a big word. So Jesus was the perfect timing. All this stuff spread across the world like ripples. And you know how that went down. It was due to pressure. That's where, you know, it says, be happy when you go through trials. God's basically at work. That's how he's working on us. He put the disciples through tough stuff, so they had to run and flee, and thereby spreading the gospel all around the Mediterranean. You know, and you had this little tiny country that literally changed the whole world. You know, and to this day, that's what I said. That's why we exist as a nation right now. So we'll bounce through some other just stuff. Trump is zeroing in on this Judge Barrett as his likely pick for the Supreme Court. Don't buy the lies. He has every right to do it. He's constitutionally obligated to appoint RBG's replacement. He needs to do it. And folks, there's one word. Why are they really fighting so hard about all this stuff right now? They knew this was coming. They suspected it. They're masterminds. There's one word. It's abortion. That is their litmus test. They test everybody with abortion. I've had people go, when I'm talking, they don't know, what political affiliation are you? What political? I won't tell them. Next question out of their mouth. Where do you stand on abortion? They don't even have to ask what political affiliation. I won't ask. Answer, I mean, and then they'll say, well, so you think it's okay? You think it's okay? So you're okay with abortion? Well, guess what? Can you keep your mouth shut? Maybe not. It gets kind of difficult, but it always comes down to this, folks. And I'll tell you, not that it's, I'm a proponent at all of abortion, but there's all these fallacies they've always floated. Terror. Oh, they're going to have these back alley abortions and they're going to do all this terrible stuff. It wasn't like that before that. A judge made a real bad call and it applied to all 50 states. There won't be, if it gets yanked, which it should, there won't be back alley abortions. It's still a state by state choice. Again, I don't stand for it, don't like it. It's the worst ever, blah, blah, blah. It's beyond terrible. You know, you look at the statistics of the number of children born. If you figure there's, and I've done this math on the show in the past, you figure there's 300 million people in the United States of America. Just say for simplistic linear mortality calculations, there's the average human in America lives 75 years. So if there's 300 million people and say they average die on the same amount every year, not exact, but good enough, that's 4 million people dying a year. Okay? Which means to maintain homeostasis in population growth, you have to have, that's not counting immigrants either, you have to have 4 million babies born a year to keep your population equal, okay? Well, we're far below that. It may be climbing up, but it's like 2.5 million. But they're doing, well, this was statistics from a few years back. Let's just say they are doing 4 million increases to our population here, which could include immigration and everything, but just for practical purposes, 4 million births a year, say. Right? And then you've got 1.8 million abortions a year. So if you take the number, it's almost, 1.8, 1.78 something. So you take 1.8 plus 4 million, you're at 5.8 million. Okay, so there's 5.8 million viable conceptions a year. 4 million are born. 1.8 are aborted. Right? So if you take that the total number divided by 1.8, It gives you 31%. What am I trying to say? 31% of all viable conceptions in the United States of America end up in abortion. Can you imagine that? What are we missing? Slaughtering babies. If you're not safe in your mother's womb, by golly, where are you safe? And these women, folks, I understand. There's tons of women out there that had an abortion. Not because you're bad people, because of whatever the scenario was, or you weren't a believer, you didn't know what to do, no one was helping you, I don't know. But I can tell you, just because you may have dealt with it, doesn't mean, put it this way, making it legal does not make it right. Just because something's legal does not make it right. So don't fool yourself in thinking it's got to stay legal or it's wrong. I've actually heard that argument. I heard, do you know how devastating that's going to be to all the women that had an abortion to make it illegal? It'll make them feel like criminals. Boy, I'd rather feel like a criminal than have to face God with that one. So here we go. COVID, my friend, is a pre-planned strategy that is now looking like it's designed to force the world into 5G wireless and cashless society. They backed off the cashless a little bit. They keep shoving in this cryptocurrency clauses that, you know, some kind of cash act or money act. I can't remember the name of it. They've tried to slip that in to the CARES Act for COVID. They've got other bills, you know, ready to push through, and they want us off cash, folks. They want to track us and watch us. 5G has, among other things, major health risks because it's radiation everywhere all the time, tracking your everything. It's going to be, you know, they want to get that through. They want the cash society. They want to use this as the final wrap. They're trying to get felons to vote. Let illegal immigrants pour into this country. Mail ballots to everybody who's ever been registered to vote. I mean, folks, seriously? I mean, all these things I've discussed, the corruption abounds. It's terrible. We need to keep that in mind. Come election day, please vote. Please vote. Please vote. None of this Trump this or Trump that, folks. No. Not a one of you. I don't care if he's a jerk and, you know, don't get all self-righteous because he said a swear word or something inappropriate about women. The guy was not a believer, never professed to be back at that time. Wasn't the president of the United States. He was a private citizen and a billionaire. And he did a darn good job of keeping his nose clean. Oh, but now they're going to have a criminal investigation into his taxes, right? It's never going to end. They can't stop. Nancy Pelosi even said, if Trump tries to nominate the new Supreme Court justice, that they're considering another impeachment trial. I mean, folks, what is going on? These people don't even understand political differences. They've come out, like I said, to stack the courts. I mean, this has been bounced around. RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said, terrible idea. It would be so partisan. She says it was a threat that FDR started, and you know, they want to bump it up to 15 and pick their own. And, I mean, give me a crazy break. Biden won't even release his short list of Supreme Court justice nominees, potentially, because we know he's a chameleon. He's truly a terrifying man. He's the, like I said, quintessential power-hungry politician who's literally willing to sell his soul for position and power. They hate Barrett. Reuters was coming out yesterday, has to call her ultra-conservative, but they never called Ruth Bader Ginsburg ultra-liberal. But anyway, their litmus test is abortion, health care, and of course, you know, pre-existing and all that other stuff. Anti-liberty, anti-freedom party. That's what we're dealing with here. So, folks, I'll say it again with no time to go. Give us a call. Get your savings into precious metals. There's a nice dip in the market. Now is a great time. Seriously, you got to protect yourself. It's foolish not to. Thanks for tuning in one more time. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.